Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine crisis. What does it mean for space engineering? Ukraine has been the center of Russia, Soviet, then Russian manufacture and engineering of boosters for many years. Russia is profoundly part of the success of manned space flight and robot space flight over the last 60 years. So we're looking at Roscosmos during wartime, given the scale of rejection that Russia is now experiencing. I welcome Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black, and we're going to explore all of the intricate turns in the road ahead of us for space engineering. Bob, what is OneWeb, and what does it have to do with Russia's attack on Ukraine? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Before I say anything about OneWeb, I have to my monthly February fundraising campaign on Behind the Black is over, and I once again have to thank all your listeners for their generous support. It was really spectacular. This year. It was the best fundraiser, month-long fundraiser I've ever done.
You're worth it, Bob. You're worth it, Bob. You've got lots of facts. Let's get to them. What's OneWeb?
All right, so OneWeb. Well, this is the first of five stories now I'm going to talk about having to do with the impact the Russian invasion of Ukraine is having on various space operations and space activities, most of which have to do with the West partnering with Russia and now finding that partnership threatened. OneWeb is a constellation of internet satellites that's being put up by privately by the UK government, owned by the UK government and Indian investors. And they have a deal with Russia, Arian Space and Russia, to launch the satellites using Russia's Soyuz 2 rocket. Most of those launches are supposed to take place in Kazakhstan at the Russians' main launch site. A few were taking place in French Guiana, but most of them were going to take place in Russia. Well, it appears now that those Russian launches are now seriously threatened. There is a launch supposed to take place this week from Kazakhstan of another 36 OneWeb launches. Those satellites are already in Russia, and so there's no and it's based on what Russian and Arian Space people are saying, that launch is going to happen. But getting future OneWeb satellites to Russia is now very much questionable because of export restrictions, flight airspace restrictions, and the fact that the cargo aircraft that they use to transport these satellites to Russia is a Ukrainian plane shipped from Ukraine. And so how is that going to work? And so it does appear that the OneWeb space constellation is seriously threatened. If they decide to break off with Russia, it's going to hurt their bottom line in two different ways. One, they've already paid for the Soyuz launches, which means if they go to a different launcher, they're going to have to pay it twice because Russia's not going to refund the money. And secondly, if they do switch to another launch provider, it's going to delay the launches, which is also going to hurt them because they won't be able to roll out their service to get customers. And Starlink is there, you know, taking business. So that's the first story, John. Then we have Russia. Russia has a partnership with Arian Space to launch Soyuz 2 rockets from French Guiana for business purposes. For example, in April, they were supposed to be launching two European Union GPS-type satellites on a Soyuz 2. Well, now that launch is in question because the Russians have, on their own, unilaterally, suspended all Soyuz rocket launches from French Guiana. They said, we're not going to do it anymore because of the sanctions the European Union has imposed on us. Now, most of the people who work on the launch of Soyuz 2 rockets in French Guiana, I think, are not Russian engineers, but they have 87 engineers that are there that are supposed to be working on those launches. If they pull them out, it's really unlikely that Arian Space can proceed with the launch without them. And so that's another issue. And there's also, you know, future OneWeb launches. Europe's GPS system is now threatened because they were going to launch them on Soyuz rockets. And so will they have to replace with a different launcher? That's going to have to wait.
Bob, a question about OneWeb. We're looking at commercial space enterprise. This failure or this delay, does that mean that OneWeb is going to fail as an enterprise, that it's backwards?
I didn't say that. I said it's going to hurt their bottom line. We're going to have to wait and see how it plays out. I mean, yes, it could kill them. Yes, of course it could. But I would think not. There's too much money invested, and to get another launch provider is totally doable. You know, you just have to reconfigure your satellites and how they're deployed, and all of that is not really rocket science, and it's just a matter of the cost. Once again, they have paid the Russians for all the launches already. Seems to me pretty stupid. I have questions if that's really accurate, but if that's what the press reports say, that's what Europe says, that they have paid for those flights, so that means they're going to have to pay again if they get a different launch service. So that's the best you can say.
All right, let's go to Mars. This is a big
story. So there's also a European Space Agency rover mission to Mars. They're going to put the Rosalind Franklin rover on the surface of Mars, and that's a partnership with Russia for the last almost, I'd say, 8 years. Russians were going to provide the rocket and the lander that would put the rover on the surface. That mission was already delayed. It was supposed to launch in 20, but it didn't launch because various components were not ready on time. So they delayed it to a launch this year in 22. Well, the European Space Agency announced this week that the 22 launch now is, quote, very unlikely, close quotes, due to the Russian invasion in the Ukraine, because the partnership is threatened. There's no doubt about it. There's all the various issues relating to the breakup of partnerships here and the suspension of joint working together is now threatening that mission, and it's very unlikely that it'll launch in 22. This is a tragedy to scientists because it's had numerous delays. It was supposed to launch years ago, and now it's likely going to have to wait at least another 2 years till the next rendezvous goes by. And that's much more complicated because they can't just get another launch provider, another rocket company. They also have to replace the lander that the Russians were going to provide. So that's a big, big hit. We have another story. The Russians have now suggested that the sanctions the U.S., the Biden administration, put on Russia because of the Ukraine invasion will force it to end its partnership at ISS in 2024 rather than in 2030, which is what NASA's been lobbying them to agree to. Now, they haven't agreed to go to 30, but they've been discussing possibly extending their partnership with us until 30. Now it looks like they're pretty much confirming that they're going to be out of this business by 24. I will repeat what I said to you, John, previously. This really isn't a big news story because the partnership at ISS was ending anyway. What year it ended all depended on a number of factors, but the follow-up stations by the U.S. are going to be privately owned and privately run, and they're not going to want to partner with the Russians, so there would be no partnership there anyway. And when ISS went away, it's all been questionable. You know, one of the issues, of course, is that the Russian modules, especially Zvezda, are failing. And so the station's life is limited anyway. Whether we can maintain the station beyond a Russian pullout is a separate question. NASA has basically been replacing a lot of the Russian responsibilities using private enterprise. For example, the Cygnus freighter that's up there right now is going to, for the first time, test its engines to raise the orbit of ISS. This will give them the ability to do this without depending on Progress freighters, which have been traditionally doing it for years. In addition, they need lifeboats on ISS, and the Soyuz have been one of the lifeboats they've used. Well, they're going to replace those with they can now replace those with Dragon capsules, and eventually, we hope, Boeing Starliner capsules, and so that's replaced. The big question is some of the life support equipment on ISS is provided by Russian modules, and if they detach their station entirely, their part of the station entirely, we'll lose some of those capabilities, and my hope is that the first private module to ISS being built by Axiom, it's due to launch in 24 and get attached to the station. What I would hope and expect is that it's going to contain some of those same life support capabilities to replace what the Russians have been giving us.
Bob, is this a joint-owned property, Russia and the U.S.? Is there a treaty between them about who
There are agreements, but the agreements specifically state, as far as I understand it, that the American half of the station belongs to America and the Russian half belongs to Russia. And the Russians, I think, insisted, and we went along just for our own reasons, but the Russians always wanted the ability and the option to separate their modules away as an independent station. And so that's the way the agreement is. And they made their modules initially so that they could function independent of the ISS stations, ISS American portion. We did not do that. And so we are at risk if they pull their portions away. Doesn't mean the station falls into the ocean. Once again, we can keep it up in the air using Cygnus capsules and maybe other Dragon as well in the future. But for the moment, at least, we are a little bit vulnerable until we can get new modules up from private companies.
I recall when the system changed because the shuttle was no longer available, there was an issue over spacesuits, whether they could get a spacesuit up and down. The Russian spacesuits were more available, and they were good for spacewalks and emergencies. Have we solved that?
Well, we can do spacewalks independently, but we haven't solved our spacesuit problem. NASA has failed entirely in doing this. The spacesuits that the NASA uses on ISS are still the same suits. They're very complicated. They're difficult to use. They have had technical problems, though they work. NASA has been trying to develop replacement spacesuits now for, I don't know, a decade. They've spent like $1 billion. They've completely failed in doing so. Inspector General reports have said that NASA should give up entirely and hand it over to private enterprise, which NASA is in the process of doing. And I expect that new spacesuits for a variety of purposes will start showing up very soon. For example, SpaceX is going to have to develop spacewalk spacesuits for its next private mission with Jared Isaacman scheduled for late this year. That's going to have a spacewalk in it. And so they need spacewalk-capable spacesuits, which is what NASA's been trying to develop for 10 years for $1 billion, and SpaceX is probably going to develop it in the next year for probably 10 years.
Let's go to Ukraine for one more story. This one is Elon Musk, SpaceX, Starlink all together. What do we know so far?
Well, this is private enterprise coming to the rescue to a certain extent, at least. Ukraine's digital minister had put a tweet out begging help from SpaceX for communications purposes. They said, rather than go to Mars, help us here. And so, almost immediately, Elon Musk announced in a tweet that he's activated the Starlink satellites for Ukrainian use, and he was going to be shipping terminals to the Ukrainian government immediately, and within 48 hours, a truck of terminals arrived with about 2 dozen terminals. This is still only a pinprick in the whole issue, but it's the beginning. It is a beginning. It's very clear that Elon Musk is willing to provide them use of internet capabilities, and once again, SpaceX is demonstrating the independence of private enterprise. No government operation controls him directly, and so he's able to do this right away, and so they are now getting help from someone.
And a positive story. In the Shetland Islands, what's happening?
In the Shetland Islands, it appears now that the United Kingdom is going to have 2 spaceports in the northern Scotland regions. The Shetland Islands have a spaceport under construction now. The construction's about to begin. They had some bureaucratic and planning commission delays, but they've all been cleared. And they hope to have the 3 launch pads built before the end of this year and the first launch before the end of the year from Shetland. This is in competition with a second spaceport being built in Sutherland, Scotland, which also hopes to get launched before the end of this year. The Shetland spaceport is being used mostly by the small sat rocket company ABL, which is being financed by Lockheed Martin, as well as a UK company called Skyrora. While the Shetland spaceport is being supported by the UK launch company, small sat launch company, Orbex. And so we've got 2 different spaceports and multiple companies wanting to use them, and they're in competition with each other. Will the business be enough for both? We're going to have to find out.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going space exploring next. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life